We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Years podcast post Orlando Magic and Golden State Warriors. We are recording this right after the blowout that we just saw, and I am joined by a dear friend Ben Cruz, ex-producer of the Light Years podcast. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing good, man. Appreciate you having me on for, you know, a little easy way to start the week for Warriors fans. And you know, it's never easy to fill in for Sam, but this one made it a little bit easier. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's this is one of those games. I think I was on the Peloton watching the first half. Then I was grabbing dinner during halftime. Then in the fourth quarter, I'm washing dishes. It's just one of those games where, look, if Kalena's not singing, you know, you don't have to have the volume up. You know what I mean? Yeah. Other than that, you're good.
Like you said before we started recording here, it was like a background game. It felt like a Giants game you throw on in you know, the middle of July, right? We're like, I'll, you know, I'll turn it up if something crazy happens. But we all kind of knew the outcome of this. Mike, the Magic roster, even with their injuries, it's shocking. It's really shocking.
They're so bad. Yeah. I mean, they got Jalen Suggs out, right? Like you're saying, they got Fultz out. They got the Jonathan Isaac out. Isaac. So they've got some good players that are out, but my God, they're bad. But all right, let's start with a couple things. Let's start with who I'm looking at on the screen right now, Andrew Wiggins tonight. He looked like Klay Thompson. I think not one of those games where he was super aggressive getting to the rim, but one of those games where it makes you start to really think that Andrew Wiggins could become a high 30%, maybe even 40% three-point shooter, which is insane to think about.
Yeah, and I mean, that's kind of emphasized by the fact that he was getting that Steph, Clay, KD buzz, you know what I mean, when he started to get hot. And that buzz, yeah, that the crowd, ooh, wanted him to shoot, yeah, and whenever he touched the ball. So, I mean, again, he's not going to shoot 8 for 10 many times throughout the season. But I mean, if he shot 4 for 10 tonight, like that's kind of what you want, right? Like you said, if he's shooting 40%, that's a huge win for the Warriors because he's going to get a lot of these open looks. And if he's knocking them down at even half the clip that he did today, like the Warriors are going to be really tough to beat.
That's the guy where, I don't know about X factor. Klay's going to be coming back. That's really the true X factor. But like, that's the guy where, if his jump shot's this pure, like tonight that shot was, you thought it was going in every single time. How good that thing looked. And it's because he's going to get those open shots every game for the rest of his career, as long as he's in Golden State, as long as he's playing next to Steph. So if he's going to hit 40% on volume like he did, or like he's doing so far this season, man, it's like Harry B, right? It's like what Harry B was doing in 2014-15 when they won their first championship. Yeah. Like, he was getting open looks and just drilling them.
Yeah, and he's going to have, again, even more space and open looks once Klay comes back. And again, like, the threes are going to be there, right? Like you said, like Barnes had it, you know, back in 2014-15. But, I mean, even the space to operate, you know, to kind of go one-on-one when he needs to is going to be crazy to watch. So yeah. It's gonna, once Klay comes back.
Great. Look at the smile. Okay, he's just smiling on the screen right now. Did you hear Fitz say that he hasn't smiled? He's never smiled like that in Minnesota. It's just a sick, absolutely disgusting comment to make as they go to commercial. You know, Fitz really enjoyed that.
Fitz will take a shot. He loves taking shots at like entire cities. He knows he's on a league pass in Minnesota right now. There's people in Minnesota hate watching Andrew Wiggins, and he just took a shot at them. And so it's going to give people even more reason to hate Fitz across the country.
Just a guy is entertaining. This is one of those games where this is why Fitz has paid the big bucks, man. He made it entertaining tonight. Other part of the game, Steph Curry was fantastic after a complete, I don't know what went on a Saturday night. Just, I'm not sure, but after this game, he's kind of back to his normal self. But the crazy, I think the we're getting close to the big moment where he's going to break Ray Allen's record. He was gunning for some threes at the end. He's 15 threes away. And the Warriors have one home game left where Steph can break the record. But do you think Steph can do it?
On Wednesday against Portland?
Yeah.
I mean, they don't have Dame, right? I don't see why he wouldn't go for it. It'd be ideal, right? Because then it's, as Fitz kind of pointed out, it'd be two birds with one stone, right? He breaks the all-time record and Clay's single-game record. I mean, and I'm sure someone's going to bring it up to Steph in post-game tonight, and he's going to be thinking about it for the next couple of days. I think he's going to go for it. He shoots it enough. He shoots enough threes to go for it, right? And the only reason I think that he might not is because I think they're going to blow out Portland on Wednesday, right? Like, they're just as bad defensively as the Magic were tonight. So that might be the only reason that he won't hit it on Wednesday. So I don't know. It might be is Saturday a nationally televised game against
the Yeah, so, Saturday. There's Saturday playing on ABC against Philly. So that might be the one.
The NBA might be would prefer Steph does that on Saturday.
That might be the one. But hey, I'll tell you what. If Steph is at 11 going into the fourth quarter, and let's say the Warriors are up by 24, he's going for it. Yeah. There's no doubt in my mind that he's going to be he's going to sell himself in. He's just going to say, Steve, fuck off.
Right. We're cool. That's classic FU Steph, like back to or unanimous MVP Steph, who's going to say, put me back in. I'm going to break this tonight just because I can. So it's going to, I mean, the next two games are, that's really the intrigue, right? I mean, for a nothing game on Wednesday, there's a ton of intrigue around it now.
Yeah, I think Steph also kind of, look, I'm not concerned trolling. Maybe I am, but it's a little fatigue in his legs. I think Saturday was a little fatigue, back end of a back-to-back, I think, two-game turnaround here. I think there's a little bit of, hey, man, the guy's 33 years old. He's going to be 34 coming up here in a few months. So I think they got to find a chance to rest him here, not at home. Sam was saying on the last podcast, obviously not at home. Joe's not allowing that to happen, but he's going to have to get some rest here. He's one of the hardest working superstars in the league that plays both sides of the court. So,
one of these back end of the back to backs on the road, he's definitely getting a night off, if not two. You know, and why not? The Warriors are so ahead of the curve. Like, if they go on those four games with the back to backs, if they go 2-2, you know, whatever, right? get Steph some rest.
Yeah, yeah. A couple other things I want to know. Anything you want to, any thoughts about the game you want to bring up?
I mean, Wiggins and Steph were really it. I mean, Poole struggled from the field again. A couple of nice buckets. Had Wendell Carter and spin cycle a little bit. And it was nice to at least see him shoot it. I didn't realize he shot it 15 times tonight. Because against San Antonio, he just didn't shoot enough, I felt like. So it was nice to kind of see him put it back up. Obviously, we'd like to see those percentages bump up, but he kind of played an all-around game. But, I mean, really, the biggest takeaways from this game was Wiggins, right? Like, he was the show tonight.
Yeah, okay, let's talk about Poole for a second, because I think he's someone that high variance type of player, but tonight he played a game that was very high floor, low ceiling-ish, right? He played the type of game that was, hey, I'm going to make the right pass. I'm not going to force any shots. I'm going to make the right play every single time. And I think with Jordan Poole, he's not that great of a shooter yet. all around the floor where he can take those type of shots. So I think this game is actually better for him and better for the Warriors.
Oh, I mean, long term for sure, right? Like when Klay comes back and, you know, JP's in charge of kind of running that second unit, you'd need more of these types of games from him, right? Like a 12-7-7 to kind of, obviously you want that that shooting percentage to be improved a lot, but you kind of want that stabilizer, right? Who can kind of do a little bit of everything for everyone. And the shot will come, right? And there's going to be nights where he's hot and he goes off for 30. But like those probably won't be needed as much once Klay is back. And you know, the Warriors are kind of running at full capacity. But they will need someone to kind of do a little bit of a Draymond imitation, if you will. and not so much with the score. And they're going to need him to score more than that. But like, again, a 12-7-7 on the nightly would be nice, right? And obviously those numbers will go up if he shoots a little bit better.
Yeah, he's decent. I think he's kind of found a great nice flow in the season. There's going to be a couple games on the road trip that Steph's going to be out, I think, maybe one or two that he's going to have to score 30 in. And we've seen him do it. And I think it's going to be perfect for him. Let's not forget the one guy that we need to bring up before we get to the callers here. Jonathan Kuminga.
Yeah. Nice minutes tonight. I mean, that dude can get to the rim kind of whenever, it feels like, and it's kind of wild, and it pains me whenever he shoots a three, and luckily he only took one tonight. Right, the three just doesn't look good. It flat out doesn't. I mean, kind of even his free throw, when he's shooting free throws, it doesn't look good.
It's horrendous. I mean, just it might actually impact his career, but I'm only here to talk about the positives.
Yeah. No, he had a couple of nice moves tonight, and like that's what you want. Is like the Warriors don't have anyone, like I guess Wiggins to a certain extent, but again, Kuminga downhill is he's a freak athlete, man. Like that putback dunk he had on that JP miss was unreal. My guy was above the rim, it felt like. And you know, again, he took one of the Wagner twins to the rim, or brothers to the rim, like at will. So it's going to be interesting to see how Kerr kind of utilizes him kind of moving forward here.
Yeah, to me, it feels like him and Poor are the most confident guys getting downhill on this team on offense. Like, it's not even close. I don't know what that says about the team. I mean, the team is 20-3. They're fantastic. Or 20-4. They're fantastic. They're going to be the one or two seed here coming in, going into the playoffs. So there's not much that they need, but if you were to say there's one thing, it's that, hey, they need a guy that can just get it to the bucket and make something happen, right? And that's not going to be Kuminga this year, but you can just see the way that he blows by guys, or even not even blow by, the way that he just goes through guys.
Yeah, physically. Yeah, exactly. I mean, yeah, totally.
You just don't see that type. I mean, when was the last time we saw that from Kevin Durant? Yes. But a lot of Kevin Durant's game was not really predicated on just kind of brute strength going through guys. His is a lot more skill and agility and all of that. I mean, he's amazing. With Kuminga, it's more of, yeah, he's got some skill. He's got some agility. But, man, he will go right through you and just go finish.
Yeah.
I don't know how many guys you see like that in the NBA. And I think he could do it consistently. Like, we see, not to compare him to Giannis, but like part of Giannis's dominance is that he's just going to relentlessly attack you no matter what. There's going to be no pull-up. There's going to be no bailout three, nothing. He's going straight to the rim every possession, and he's going to put in 30 every single game. I think, like, Kuminga has that type of relentlessness.
Yeah, and I think that's a good comp for him, too. I mean, obviously, Giannis is a freak, right? And he's kind of one of a kind. But in terms of what we were talking about earlier, coming with a three-point shot, I mean, that's the type of, you know, how you want Kuminga to progress as a player, right? It's just he can get to the rim whenever he wants. Do that over and over again. Add the three in and sprinkle it in later on in your career. And once you've kind of worked on it, it seemed for a while there, you know, it seemed like he was doing this, you know, going to the rim whenever he was in the game. And then he got kind of reliant on the three-point shot a little too much whenever Steve would put him in. And then, you know, they might have fixed some of that stuff during his last stint here in the G League. But yeah, again, like you said, the Warriors don't have anyone like him. And that's so interesting to see.
100%. All right, man. You going to take off or you going to hang in for the callers?
No. Hang out. Do it.
Hell yeah. Before we go, before we get to the callers, you want to shout out Vover real quick? I think we should before we...
I appreciate you. Vover, check out, you know, our couple of the shows that we have going on right now, One and Done. My latest guest was,
Sir.
Andy, you were on and got a lot of great feedback on that. So thanks again for doing that. For all my MMA fans out there, Daniel Cormier hosts the podcast.
Saw that one.
Debate DC.
Yeah.
He does a call for questions and takes every week. He invites fans on to debate him on those topics. They're usually MMA based. So he's had a bunch of MMA fans on with him. I was actually on with him last week to debate some WWE stuff for all my pro wrestling fans out there. He's really big into that world, but no, come check us out over on Vover. At the very least, come check out our guy Andy here, who hopped on with me, so was so gracious with his time and produced one of the best episodes that we've done so far.
Hell yeah, man! Big Poirier Oliveira fight today, or Oliveira.
Yeah,
fight this weekend. I am ready, man. I'm ready.
Let me plug that. We're giving away we're buying that fight for somebody this week.
Ooh.
So we're gonna release that video. DC's gonna release that video tomorrow. But I'm giving the Light Years fam heads up. We're gonna give that away, and DC will let you all know. But if you don't want to spend, what is it, 70, 80 bucks on that fight, we got you.
Little pay-per-view action.
Yeah, we got to take care of you. Yeah.
I love it. I love it.
Golden State Warriors basketball is finally back, and there's no need to exhaust yourself searching all over the internet to find Warriors tickets anymore. Because TickPick, that's TickPick, is the original no-fee ticket site and the only one you'll ever need as your go-to for all NBA tickets. TickPick got rid of all the awful service fees that the other ticket sites charge, which lets them guarantee the best price on all of their NBA tickets. If you don't believe it, if you can find better prices for the same seats on another ticket site, TickPick will actually give you 110% of the difference in the purchase price. I actually did that for the San Francisco Giants game against the LA Dodgers game one, compared it to another site that I usually use. TickPick was actually cheaper. So there you go. But make sure you go to TickPick for all your Warriors tickets games this season. Visit TickPick.com today to save $10 on your first order of Golden State Warriors tickets. Again, it's TickPick.com.
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All right, let's get to the goons. We got a few. Get through them. Bernardo, what's up, brother?
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. How's it going?
This is all Ben. Nice to meet you.
I didn't know you today,
so nice to meet you. Second of all, and most important, Sam, if you're listening, congratulations. And I hope you enjoyed your life to this day, because that's over. And by the way, I'm high again, so I'm really happy with this win. But I stopped paying attention to the game midway through the second quarter. So I have a couple of things in my head. First of all, about the game and in general. And you can stop me when I'm boring, because I have a lot of things in my head. So Fitz is crazy, because I usually listen to Brazilian broadcasting. They broadcast a surprising amount of Warriors game. And tonight they didn't. So I listened to Fitz and like taking shots at Minnesota. And it's crazy. He's crazy, dude. It's so good. I'm gonna listen to him more often, because he's so funny. And
this is what Fitz is here for, man. He's trying to get international, Bernardo. He's trying to get you hooked. That's what he
does. Especially in the low stakes game against a bad team, like we could just have fun and laugh at him. Like, and then another thing about the game, and actually about the team in general, I was looking at Kuminga, and I think at this point we can be pretty sure he's going to be better than Wiseman, because like he's so athletic, he's so coordinated, he's so intense playing, and he's not dumb. Like, he's not making stupid mistakes all the time, so it's not like he's a huge minus in some sense. And he's just a bad shooter, sure, but I mean, Kawhi Leonard was a bad shooter, not to, and Michael Kidd-Gilchrist was also a bad shooter, so let's not get crazy. But
I think a couple of things. Let's stop there, because I think that's a topic worth visiting, Bernardo.
One more thing. You were talking about Sabonis the other day, and I think you're kind of lowballing him, in my opinion. Like, imagine him. Let's say, I don't know if the salaries match, but I don't know if we cannot give up Wiggins and get him. I'm not sure how much he makes, but let's say we give up one pick, couple young guys and salaries to match. He slots into Looney's place, and this offense all of a sudden is unbelievable, because he's a great finisher, a great offensive rebounder, a great passer. You can run an offense through him, and I don't think he's going to get exposed next to Draymond, so he's a great pick. I think he's a great pickup for the Warriors. He's basically Bielitsa, but better. Like, he's really good.
I appreciate you, Bernardo. Just the Fitz one is killing me. That he's listening to Fitz and now he's hooked. All right, a couple of things. Let's start with the Wiseman stuff. I don't want to do the comparison. I more want to say he looks like he's not going to play this year. At least for the rest of this month, he looks like he's going to be back sometime in January, February, whatever. The only thing I have to say is I just hope he gets healthy. Man, I think that's the most important thing. I think there is unfair expectations that, I mean, like someone like Fitz goes on every broadcast and talks about how, hey, if Wiseman is out there, they could rebound better or score better or dunk more, whatever it is, right? I just let the kid get healthy first. That's a big thing. That's number one. And I think about the Sabonis piece. For me, it's you're going to have to give up players that I think the Warriors don't want to give up. I mean, you're going to have to, from a salary perspective, if you want to start with Wiggins, you can easily match that salary. If you don't, you're going to have to put some pieces around someone like Wiseman or Looney. Either way, they're going to want to want at least Wiseman and Kuminga or one or the other, and at least Moody, right? Maybe even Jordan Poole. Like, he's an all-star level player, and I don't think he's a type of player that makes that much of a difference in a series that you have to win. How much is Sabonis playing in a series that you have to win against the Phoenix Suns? And I just don't think that matters enough to where the Warriors are going to make that move.
Yeah, and I mean, to kind of circle back on the Wiseman stuff, I mean, I just feel like he has this cloud over his head, right, ever since the Warriors took him. And it's like I get the skepticism. And, you know, like we've seen Kuminga, right? But I think the difference being, like, this poor Wiseman, dude, like the day that he gets drafted – right, that's when Clay tears his Achilles. You know what I mean? And then from there, it's just these high expectations and everything else. He has no training camp. And he just wasn't really set up to succeed in the way that Kuminga has. So, and I mean, succeed is probably a strong word for Kuminga. Like, he's playing well in kind of the limited role that he's been given. So I don't know if I'm ready to go there yet with
right.
the definitive Kuminga is going to be better than Wiseman, right? Like I'm open to that conversation. I don't think it's wrong, but I think it's way, way too early. And to your point, man, I mean, Wiseman just got to get healthy, right? Like that's the big thing. And I think this start ultimately has given them runway to not rush him back. And yeah. Same with Clay. Like we've been kind of using that narrative with Clay mostly, but I think it's just as important for Wiseman, right? And they're gonna need someone like him against the Suns. I think that's where it really matters. You know what I mean? Or like in the playoffs type of thing. So there's that. The Sabonis piece. I mean, ultimately, right? Draymond is going to be this team's center when it matters most. And it just feels weird to me for Sabonis to kind of be in it. Like, it'd be great, you know, to have another facilitator, you know, to have someone of his talent on offense. But again, when it comes down to it, I don't know. He just hasn't played enough games that matter to me, to your point. And again, Draymond is the center of this team.
If you're going to trade pieces for a guy, I need a guy that I know is going to win, has shown that they can play this style of basketball. I mean, Christian Wood's name's been thrown out there. And those are two guys that are just like super sick fantasy players we were talking about in the last podcast. But at the end of the day, like I want dogs on the court that I know can play. And that's not those two guys. We've not seen that. There's a reason why they're not been in winning situations. You can talk me into Pascal Siakam though, right? Like that's someone you can talk me into, but not these other two guys that might not even close in a winning situation. All right, let's keep it moving here. Ricky, sir, how's it going?
What's up? Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
All right, so I thought Wiggins had a pretty solid 28 points in the flow tonight, including the 1 of 7 on 2-point attempts tonight. But the one guy I'd like to discuss is Jordan Poole. Fitz noted on the broadcast that the Warriors were 10-0 when Poole had 4 or more assists. And, well, they're 11-0 now. But is this our new Draymond having 8 or more points to guarantee herself the win? And more seriously, does it speak more to how things open up when he's a playmaker?
That's a hell. Ricky Garcia. Thank you, sir. God, that's such a – Jordan Poole is someone I think the rookie season shown that he could play make, right? I think he had those flashes where I was like, damn, like I don't think he's going to make it in this league. But if he does, he's got some playmaking chops to where he can find guys in the corner when he drives, right? He can play through the pick and roll. He can actually run a second unit offense that way. He can play on the opposite side. Weak side action of a play, and he can get to the hole. Like that's something that I thought was always his strong suit versus what I think a lot of people might feel like, hey, his shooting is what you think of it as being a strong suit, right? But I think what Jordan Poole is actually better at is actually have the ball in his hands, get to the hole, and actually control the game that way and not actually shooting 28-foot threes like he's Steph Curry. The less I think he tries to be Steph Curry, the better probably it is for this team. The better it is for the Warriors.
Yeah, and that's really what they were missing last year, right? Is I mean, we have this perception, and it's true. Like Steph is a playmaker, right? Draymond's been, you know, one of the primary playmakers, but the Warriors have been missing that secondary ball handler on the perimeter, right? Who can kind of create off the dribble, or like Draymond will just sees the court differently, right? He'll make the right pass, but he can't take his guy off the dribble, right? JP can do that now. And in a similar way that Steph can. And, right, he doesn't need to shoot like Steph, but he needs to be able to help collapse the defense and then create for everyone else. And he's starting to do that now. And, I mean, that's a great take by Ricky that it is more important, I think, than, you know, him putting up 30. I mean, it's nice, right? But, again, Clay's on his way back, and Wiggins is starting to find his thing. So the other aspect of this is the playmaker aspect, and that's super important for JP's development here.
Finding the balance is so hard, too, for a 22-year-old, yeah. Right? Yeah. Like, for a 22-year-old, just understanding how to – like, what should he be tonight? Is he going to be more of a playmaker? Are they going to need him to score more? Is he going to have to be more? So, like, that's hard, man. Like – we see Chris Paul do it so well, but like, man, that's Chris Paul, right? Like these guys are like elite guards that can do that. And it's asking a lot of Jordan Poole to figure that out. And we're seeing him do it on the fly. Like we're seeing him do it on the fly, which is cool.
Be simplified more once Clay comes. Is it going to be, you know, an ego hit that he has to go back to the bench? Probably. But, you know, his role will be simplified when, you know, he kind of is leading that bench unit. And he doesn't have to kind of think, you know, in the back of his mind, I'm sure he's always thinking like, oh, I got to defer to Steph or I got to defer to Dre, like with the starting five, right? Like, why wouldn't you? Those guys are champions and Hall of Famers. But when he's given the keys to that second unit, I don't know, he might be even more effective.
Nope. Sorry, I put Mikas on too early.
Oh, no, you're good.
Mikas, sir. What's up,
How brother? We doing, boys?
Good, man. Good. You want to talk some Succession? Actually, you know what? No spoilers. Actually, people might not have watched this episode.
No spoilers, but I'm worried about Redacted. We'll just say.
Yeah.
I'm concerned. I hope Redacted is okay. I got two questions here. One, per Joe V-Ray, a great NBA follow on Twitter, at Joe V-Ray NBA, Andrew Wiggins is putting up the best shooting marks of his career, as well as having the most efficient scoring season of his career. 53% on twos, career high. 41.5% on threes, career high. 72% on free throws. 56.5% effective field goal percentage, career high. 59.1% true shooting, career high. Is there any chance that Andrew Wiggins is an all-star for the Warriors this season, given the fan base that the Warriors have, the way we can get the fan vote drummed up, and kind of the lack of all of the good wings being active right now? Kawhi's out. LeBron's missed a lot of games. You know, the West is just you're missing Murray. You're missing a lot of players. MPJ. Is there a shot at Wiggins being an all-star this season?
And
second question. We know Steph is probably not going to break the record against Portland. It would be perfect if he did, but he probably doesn't. There's a chance he breaks it against his brother Saturday in Philly. Would be good, but I don't think that's the best one. If he doesn't get it within those two games, do we think there's a chance that the organization takes Indiana, a terrible team that they can beat without Steph, and let the stars kind of get a rest game for that night so that he can break it in Madison Square Garden when I'm there to make up for the terrible Tampa Bay loss that I saw? Will they do this for me to make up for the Tampa Bay Raptors game that I had to observe if he doesn't break it against Philly? What are your thoughts on both of these questions, guys?
Mika's never fucking misses.
Never once. Never done.
Never,
it.
Never once. I'm gonna go second one first. They gotta bench his ass. Sit Steph out if he doesn't hit it in the next two games. Nobody wants to see Steph break it in Indiana. Steph is a showman. He needs to break it either at Portland at home, in front of the Chase crowd, on national TV, like you said. All right, we'll take national TV Saturday night.
And against his brother. Against his brother.
And against Steph. Cool moment. But Madison Square Garden, oh, man. He might make 15 that night at Madison Square. I mean, you remember he had 50.
Yeah.
What is it now? 7 years ago now?
2011, I thought. Wasn't it 2011 when he had 51?
Yeah. God, I feel old. By the way, Kuminga just so happy. All the time. The guy's just so happy. But yeah, Ben, what do you think? I think we can't. Indiana's just this. No, absolutely not. Cannot happen. Non-starter.
Indiana has to be off the table. I'm sorry to everyone in Indiana. If we have any Indiana Light Years listeners, I'm going to defer to Mikas' happiness over yours. but I mean, look, there's the next four games. There's three great options. Three really good ones. If they choose to do it in Indianapolis, I don't know. We need to have some conversation.
and Indy is the start. It's a back to back. It's Indy back to back Knicks. So you could rest the first night for the starters, get them for the Knicks.
I would take the L. I mean, I don't even care if Indiana wins that game. You know what I mean? It's just.
And we already beat. Who did we beat the other day when you rested? Was it the Cavs? I think we sat everybody.
Detroit.
Oh, okay. Well, Detroit's worse than Indiana, but still.
No, yeah. At least Indiana has some deep. They have some okay, but Detroit is just miserable.
Terrible. Well, what about Wiggs as an all-star? What do we think on that one, guys?
Has he had
a better season than LeBron? Has he had a better season than LeBron so far?
Oh my God. He's gonna
LeBron's more. Missed half the year. He's missed half the season.
But hey, you know he's going to make the
all-star. I know, but he doesn't deserve it this year so far.
He's going to make it. Okay, so maybe the better question, because I got to look at the roster, I got to look at how many wings there are and all that stuff. I don't have it up in front of me, but maybe the question is, does Andrew Wiggins deserve an all-star? Part of me wants to say
Jesus Christ, Steph Curry can make you fucking great. He can make a career. I'll tell you that. Steph Curry is unbelievable. But in all honesty, I think Andrew Wiggins, after the first few games of the season, has been nothing short of spectacular. I was on the forefront of kind of saying that I just did not believe Andrew Wiggins was going to be just the type of player that he was last season or any better. I mean, so far this year, he's at 41. Like you just said, he's at 41% now from three for the season.
Almost 42, 41.6. Here, just for fun, let's go down. Name the wings off this team that you would bring to the All-Star. Pelicans, is there a wing that you would take over Wiggins for the All-Star game?
I mean, Brandon Ingram, like he's having a special statistical year.
Thunder, no, right, no.
SGA, probably not, yeah.
He's not a wing. Wiggins would be a wing. SGA's a guard. Rockets, no.
No.
That's Spurs, no.
No.
Kings, are we taking Harrison Barnes? Trailblazers, no.
Unless you're a little, pretty good.
Over Wiggins, I don't know about that. Timberwolves, maybe you go Ant-Man. I could hear Ant-Man.
Yeah.
I could hear it. Nuggets, no. Lakers, it's LeBron will get one, but okay, fine. Mavericks, no. Clippers, Paul George, that's a lock. We know that. Grizzlies, Ja Morant's not a wing. Jazz.
Triple J.
Isn't Triple J a center? Or maybe I'm wrong.
It's front court and back court now.
He'd be front court. Okay, fair. Right. You're right. Okay. I still think I'd take Wiggins.
Sure,
over
I agree.
Yeah.
Okay. Jazz. I guess Donovan Mitchell would be front, or he'd be in the guard spot. So, and then that leaves Warriors and Suns. I mean, I think there's a legitimate path for two-way Wiggs to be an All-Star this year, would be hilarious given the way. We all wanted to trade him, and rightfully so, at the start of the year.
I kind of need it. Oh, no, he's not saying Wiggins over PG. PG's a lock. I think there's
No. PG's a lock that PG is going to be. Yeah. He's like the guaranteed lock over Wiggins, obviously.
Yeah. So there might be room.
I think there is. I think he's going to be one.
I'm a little – I love it. At the same time, I'm a little disgusted. But, hey, look, it's a good time to be a Warriors fan, man.
It's a great time. Hey, good time with you, boys.
To close up on Mikas's point, I think like the path really is like if the Warriors keep winning, and they're not going to keep winning at this clip, but if they're still the number one, number two seed in the West, kind of around once the All-Star reserves are kind of being voted in by the coaches tend to vote in players who are on winning teams, right? So he might get, and the Warriors have had three All-Stars before, so it's not out of the realm of possibility. I think there's obviously the narrative around Wiggins and his entire career. So that might be what's holding us against believing it entirely, but it's not. When he first said it, I was like, whoa, no way. And then once he started breaking it down and I'm looking at Wiggins' his stats now, you're like, it's not out of the realm of possibility.
I'll tell you who's going to be pushing that. Everybody in the Warriors organization. You know why? Because this would be the greatest reclamation project that we've seen in a long time.
Right.
Because if the Warriors organization can prove, and I joke about Steph being the middle of all of this, and he is, but if the Warriors organization can say, hey, we can help revive your career, we can change the way that people see who you are as a player and turn you into an all-star, essentially they're going to turn a guy that I think most people in the league, outside of the league, fans just thought of a guy as just a high volume chucker who's overrated and pretty lazy as number one pick, and turn him into a Western Conference All-Star on a team that's won three titles and is the number one seed going into the All-Star break. Shit.
That would be among the storylines that we could not have predicted going into the season for the Warriors. Like, I think Wiggins being an All-Star would probably be at the top. And then, you know, this 20-4 start, right? Like it was just so out of the realm. We were just hoping he was, you know, a decent wing, right? Where he can make some open shots, play some good defense. And now we're entering the is he an all-star conversation? It's a wild NBA season.
How much help does Steph fucking need, man? How much help does Steph?
That's going to be the wonderful narrative. Right? It's going to come back that he has two or like how many Hall of Famers does he need? It's going to be great.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices?
And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This summer, dive into the many cools of San Antonio, because as soon as the temperature rises, so does the fun, the flavors, the excitement, and the many cool things that make our city the perfect summer getaway destination. Come keep cool with amazing pools, the best hotels, refreshing adventures both indoor and outdoor, inspiring history and culture, culinary wonders, and the hottest nights of your life at the coolest spots in Texas. To plan the coolest summer vacation, dive into visitsanantonio.com/summer.
McWalter, what's up, brother?
Yo, I think we're missing out on an all-star. Man, Jordan Poole's playing like an all-star, too. Why don't we just get four all-stars?
Well,
why
are five, we stopping at three? Why Clay's coming back. Give him one.
Clay don't need to get on the all-star team yet. No, we're going to let him wait and chill. It's all good. But, no, to be honest, Jordan Poole's playing so good that he won't make it. There's too many guards. But he should at least have some consideration. And to Mikas's point, I mean, Andrew Wiggins is playing out of his mind. It's freaking awesome. Imagine when he gets the booster. I mean, clearly the Vax is great on the level. You give him the booster, he might go Super Saiyan on the season. He might get that free throw percentage up and be a 90, 50, 40, 90 guy. Who knows, man? It'd be insane. But no, you got to be excited about tonight's game. It was great seeing Kuminga get the fourth quarter run. And good to see that Moody and him are doing decent down in, Santa Cruz. Still a lot of turnovers, still some mistakes, but, still playing well, too.
I love it. I love it. The G League for a second, I think. McWalter, by the way, thanks for jumping on, man. As always, breath of energy and positivity. I think the G League stuff has been great for Moody and Kuminga. I think it's just – G League is just an underrated place, man. I wish I lived closer to Santa Cruz, Ben. I'm like – what, 2.5 hours away or something
Yeah, you're pretty far out. I'm actually pretty close over here in San Jose, so it's like less than an hour. It's just Yeah, so I'll be making some trips out there in the near future. It's just sometimes their games align, or more often than not, actually, their games have been aligning with actual Warrior games. So like, I just really got to make the decision of, am I going to really make this drive for an hour to watch the G League? Like,
You got to make sure Kuminga's playing too, right? Because it's not like he's playing every game. So, might be cool to see Wiseman and Clay play out there if Clay gets a couple games out there before he comes back. But
Clay, that'd be a collector's item, right? A Clay Santa Cruz Warriors jersey, number 77, hopefully. I don't know.
Yeah, it'd be a hell of a game. We'll see with Clay, man. I think we're getting closer and closer. I'm getting goosebumps just thinking about it. So we'll see when he's coming back. All right. Jumped off. Let's close it out with William Mitchell here, a new caller. Let's close this baby out.
Yo, can you guys hear me?
Yes, sir.
First off, if Draymond doesn't get a T-shirt showing all the Portland media's tweets about him being worse than Robert Covington, it's petty card revolt because, oh, my God. Portland's a dumpster fire. Just blow it up. Damn, I love the guy, but he got to figure it out. Like, get out of there.
Do you have anything else, William? Is that it?
The only other thing I wanted to say is, I know, people were trying to question Steph's mid-range attempts, which is fair, but the one person I might want to question is probably Draymond's, because it's like he's shooting, career highs and twos on 75% and 0-3 and then 55% on 3-10, but the 25% from 16-3 point is when you're pretty much have all unlimited space when two go to Steph. Do the Warriors just get a shooting coach eventually so that maybe Draymond can figure it out some of his shooting woes, or heck, maybe Looney can get a shooting coach so that he can stop being a dumpster fire, but I don't know.
By the way, you just had the numbers up. Had that memorized. Just Draymond's percentage paint numbers and stuff like that. William, thanks for Thanks for, oh, shit, I let him out. But it makes a good point. I think the Steph mid-range, I'm not too worried about how often he shoots it. The Draymond shooting, it's past the buck. I think at you kind of – this is – what you see is what you get with Draymond. Right? Like, I don't see some crazy improvement from mid-range. I don't see some crazy improvement from the three-point line. He's shooting a little bit more this season, as in he's actually going to the rack a little bit more, and he's making more layups. But in terms of actually the accuracy of the shooting from outside of 10 feet, I don't think it's going to get any better.
Yeah, I think if we're just kind of nitpicking at that point, right, with Draymond. I mean, he's so elite defensively and so elite on the offensive end in terms of getting the ball in scorers' hands. And he's, like you said, he's so much more aggressive this year getting to the rim. Like, if he's got a layup, he still has those moments where he passes when he's driving to the rim. But more often than not, he is kind of going to the cup. And, you know, if he makes it is a whole other conversation. But again, if we're asking him then to kind of improve his mid-range shooting, I don't know if that's just that just seems like overkill in terms of stuff that he needs to be doing. Yeah. And same with Loon, right? Like, they take him on occasion and it's painful to watch. But I mean, if the Warriors do everything right, like, those possessions will be few and far between.
Yeah, it just you see what you get with Draymond. He's incredible defensively, incredible screener. He's always going to get guys open, mm-hmm. Passer. He does everything but that shooting part. But I mean, that's what it's going to come down to with the Warriors is they're going to play four when it's winning time. They're going to play four shooters around Draymond, and they're going to try to win from there. And it's good times because he looks fantastic. But get those guys a rest day. Ben, I appreciate you jumping on a little bit longer than I thought, but appreciate you, brother. We will be back Wednesday night after Portland. Hopefully when Steph breaks the record. Thanks, everyone.